be only a moment more, at once free himself from all material activities and took shelter of the supreme safety, the personality of Godhead.
Prabhupada Vaishvanga Saisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Vivekananda ki jai. A fully responsible man should always be conscious of the prime duty of the present human form of life. The activities to meet the immediate necessities of life are not everything. One should always be alert in his duty for attainment of the best situation in the next life. Human life is meant for preparing ourselves for that prime duty. Maharaj Katvanga is mentioned here as a saintly king because even within the responsibility of the state management, he was not at all forgetful of the prime duty of life. Such was the case with other Rajrishis or saintly kings, like Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Parikshit. They were all exemplary personalities on account of their being alert in the discharging their prime duty. Maharaj Katvanga was invited by the demigods in the higher planets to fight demons. And as a king, he fought the battles to the full satisfaction of the demigods. The demigods, being fully satisfied with him, wanted to give him some benediction for material enjoyment. But Maharaj Katvanga, being very much alert to his prime duty, inquired from the demigods about his remaining duration of life. This means that he was not as anxious to accumulate some material benediction from the demigods as he was to prepare himself for the next life. He was informed by the demigods, however, that his life would only last a moment longer. The king at once left the heavenly kingdom, which is always full of material enjoyment of the highest standard. And coming down to this earth, he took ultimate shelter of the all-safe personality of Godhead. He was successful in his great attempt and achieved liberation. This attempt, even for a moment, by the saintly king, was successful because he was always alert to his prime duty. Maharaj Parikshit was thus encouraged by the great Sukadeva Goswami. Even though he had only 7 days left in this life to execute the prime duty of hearing the glories of the Lord in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, by the will of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit instantly met the great Sukadeva Goswami and the great treasure of spiritual success left by him is nicely mentioned in this Srimad Bhagavatam in the prayer book. Om Ajnanam Parandasya Ajnanam Sarakaya Chakshur Nitram Nitrasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Vam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Vutare Smriti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachanya Ine Vishesha Sandavari Pascha Prasatayana Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Sudasari Gaur Bhakta Vindu Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again, the saintly king, Katvanga, after being informed that the duration of his life would only be a moment more, at once freed himself from all material activities and took shelter of the supreme safety, the personality of Godhead. And yesterday's sloka we heard, what is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after his supreme interest. So here we see Parikshit was in this mood, full conscious, that he was, as Prabhupada mentioned, very alert to his prime duty. He mentioned this, being alert to the prime duty of life at least 6-7 times in this short purport. I suppose it's stressed so much because it means that we're not very alert. I mean, we're not very serious about the prime duty of life. That He says to Mother, and that is, what are we going to do at that, the time of death, which is certain, which certainly will come? We never think about that. The most wonderful thing is, it's mentioned here, that the most wonderful thing is the living entity doesn't think he's going to die, even though he sees everyone dying around him. Thinks it won't happen to me. So that's a natural feeling, because the soul doesn't die. We don't actually die. So death is unnatural and foreign for the soul. So that feeling that we won't die is quite natural. But the fact is, if we're in the bodily conscious, then we do die. Body's taken away. A very fearful situation. But we don't like to think about this subject. But one has to know what to do. It's imperative if you don't want to take birth again. But because we don't, because it's all we know is this life, then we think it's not so bad. But if we look from the viewpoint of the, if we could be a little more broad-minded, broader vision, then we could see, if we were looking down on this world from the higher planets, with the speaker of the spiritual world, we would think that this is quite actually a little miserable place. That these human beings, always subjected to these, the six lashes, the three pleasures, just like flapping around for 25 minutes before they die, like a fish out of water. That's just going, and then another, but then again and again. But because we don't know anything better, or we've forgotten anything better, then we think, you know, everyone's doing it. So then you don't mind. We're all in the same boat. Then it makes it a little easier if everyone else is. So that's conditioning. So that we don't act unless we hear about it. So that's why it says one moment's association is so important. Worth millions of lifetimes of fruitive activity. You know, to try to adjust this material situation. It's worth millions of dollars. Because by that one moment's association with a devotee, he can plant that seed, because the pure devotees have the potency. When they speak, it goes to the heart. And they can, as you mentioned, they can set you on the right path to make us a little forward thinking. What about this future? Because normally you don't think about, we're short-sighted. We only think about the immediate future, about tomorrow, about today, about, you know, a few years ahead. And material nature is like that. It's so relentless. The pleasures are so relentless that from morning till night we're busy working to stop this hunger, thirst, lamentation, fear and all that come with it. It's just keeping us on the run all the time. That's Maya's job. But and these, factually speaking, this eating, sleeping, making, defending, for any, they're the prime necessities of life. They're not actually the prime necessities, but they're the immediate necessities, right? We all make sure we got our scarf, our chadors on, and our hats on today. And then Prabhupada said, at least during the Bhagavatam class, people, we're transcendental, we're liberated. He said, at least during that time, when you go out, then it's something different. Then you think about eating, and it's Ekadasi, I'm fasting today, oh boy. If we fast. But immediately after, the next thing is to eat, right? If you haven't eaten for already for 5 or 6 hours, naturally, the next thing you've got to, your senses will lead you towards food. Then a little rest, then you have to do some service, some work to maintain yourself. Because you know, we're broad-minded enough to know in the future, and 6 hours later I'm going to be hungry again. So I better make some arrangement so I can ward off this hunger, ward off this defending, eating, sleeping. So that's everyone is doing. So that's intelligence, but it's not very broad-minded intelligence. You're thinking that and tonight will be cold, when the sun goes down will be cold, and I'll have to have some shelter from the elements, from the thieves, from the animals, and I'll have to have some nice shelter to do it. Then I have to work to build a shelter and to maintain a shelter. So these are the immediate things, but they're not very, it's not so far forward with thinking. But these are immediate duties that we have to perform. That's intelligence, to do that. We went to one course, they had a little course here a little while ago. Was it management or teachers training? Leadership, that one, leadership. So you may have seen, they draw this chart with the three circles, the panic zone, the lazy zone, and the stress zone. That mostly we like to be in the lazy, relaxed zone, that's it, the relaxed zone. We like to relax. We like to be in that relaxed zone. But the problem is you can't relax too long because you can't neglect these eating, sleeping, making, defending. You've got to prepare for the worst because you know it's going to come. So if you don't prepare, if you stay in the relaxed zone too long, then all of these problems come on you, and you end up in the panic zone. This is like time management, how to manage your life. Maybe you've attended those courses. So then you end up in the panic zone, and then you get anxiety, then there's fear, then there's bad health, then there's unregulation, and how it is. So many things are coming at once. So better you work in the, what is the other one? Stretch zone. Better you stay in the stretch zone. That means you kind of pace yourself. You push yourself a little bit for improve to stay up, to stay in there. So that's what we're doing, but we don't push ourselves enough. We only think of tomorrow or the next month's rent or the holiday, which we have to take next year. So we don't go much past that. So that's the material energy, relentlessly bombarding us, keeping us completely absorbed. That's her business, the expert. Krishna's prime energy in the material world. Devi Shigunamai Durga. She's wonderful. Relentlessly she's bombarding us with these the ideas of eating, sleeping, defending, and then when that's taken care of, then we can enjoy. Then we can think about enjoying. So we're so busy doing those three things, and when there's a little break, when the pressure's off, there and now it's time for enjoyment. Then someone comes up and says, look, you should take human life seriously and you should hear the Bhagavatam and chant. Well, I haven't got time, when is it? This is my prime time. It's all the time I've got. I don't have time for this. Right? The lady is saying, chant, chant, chant. Husband saying, can't, can't, can't. Gotta do something anyway. But they say, no time, right? No time. No time for this. And actually, you don't have any time. She doesn't give you any time, Durga. It's her business to absorb your time. All we have is time and choice. In this world, that's all we have. We have some time, we have a choice, and some facility, whatever material energy is given us, this body and the faculty and the whatever we have by destiny karma. And we can use that, and we have some time to use it in, and we're making a choice. But what else do we really have? So she's really got us on strung out there. So here the sadhu, if you're fortunate enough to hear the sadhus, then they're saying, wait a minute, there's something more than this. He can sleep and make it, and the defending. Something more than this. These are what they call the short-term goals. And they're not satisfying. They're not, because they're not lasting. So we want lasting satisfaction. So that's what everyone is actually wants. Really, they really want is lasting satisfaction. That's why all the movies and the novels, they always end and they live happily ever after. That's ideal, that's what you want. But That's a fact. You do. If we're bored minded, if we actually go back to the spiritual world, then we live happily ever after. But they're trying to make this place like the spiritual world. That is called Maya. They're trying to make this material world the heavenly planets by adjusting it. This is Maya. Otherwise, you know, material world is real. It's not illusion. The illusion is that we can make it comfortable here. And Krishna says it's not comfortable. And he created it. It's not created to be comfortable. We think we've got a better idea than God. Or we can do better than God. He's created it uncomfortable, top to bottom. And we're trying to make it comfortable. So this is our competitive mentality, envious of God. Why don't we just accept what he says? No, we can. Yeah, okay, he says, but we can do something. We can, by our collective energy, we can resolve. We can make nice road. We can make fast car. We can make a nice apartment with steel and cement and control the temperature inside a little box of 100 feet by 100 feet and pay how much now in Bombay? Square foot? 40,000 rupees a square foot in Bombay if you want to build it. Don't complain here. It's expensive here. 40,000 rupees a square foot. That means you put some bricks and some glass and you got some control of the atmosphere inside. Satisfied. We have controlled nature. We have conquered nature. And you're paying 40,000 rupees a square foot, you can work like an ass. How long can you come back to your little glass and steel and brick box and enjoy it anyway? Whatever you got to do. That's material nature. Yeah? You've seen the cover on the book, Modes of Material Nature, the demigods and they're pulling the strings and the guys, the Sri Gunas are controlling everyone. So Sukha is saying he's happy here. Sukha, Dev comes along because Maharaj Pariksit is like a really serious hero. he's going to give, and Sukha says you should give full attention and respect. He mentioned before, you should give full attention and respect to Bhagavatam. He mentioned in the first canto that Bhagavatam is the by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, the social individual, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed. Then that loving service unto the Lord is praised with transcendental songs becomes established. That's what we want, right? We want loving service to Krishna. And so by regularly hearing this Bhagavatam, all those auspicious things will go away. That's what we actually want. But one should be attentive. One should actually be attentive and respectful. Why be respectful? Because this Bhagavatam is Krishna. It's not different from Krishna. So one must be respectful, attentive, and approaching in the mode of service. If we actually see it as, it's not different from Krishna. Or, if not Krishna, we're approaching Sukadeva Goswami here, the great devotees, so we're going to associate with great saints in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should be respectful and cautious and attentive to what they say. Because this is Srimad Bhagavatam is for human beings, civilized human beings who actually want to make a solution to the problems of life and attain the highest goal of going back to Godhead. So if you're not really serious, then you won't hear that. But if one approaches in submissively and respectfully, sincerely, that you actually want to hear, then you hear what they're saying. What are they saying? Simply, over and over again, around and in so many different ways and stories and analogies, that by hearing and chanting remembering about these activities, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is your very means of conquest. Because, see, that is the means of, it's not only the means, it's actually the goal of life. Because he says, certainly I was already fixed in transcendence, but still I was attracted to Bhagavatam. So the Atmaramas, even they're attracted to the pastimes of the Personality of Godhead. Because Krishna's all attracted. So even though they've attained complete freedom from the pleasures, from the material nature, still they're attracted. There's something more. Even when one is free, there's something more. So that is service to Krishna. And they're attracted by Krishna. And indeed, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the great souls, they enjoy it. They spend the time sitting around discussing my glories, associating together and discuss what they're doing. They're discussing my pastimes, singing my glories. That's what the perfect souls do, isn't it? We can't do it. We're trying to do it, but we can't do it all the time. But therefore, we have so many. At least we have a few hours in the morning and a few hours in the evening, and the rest of the day, then we'll act in other ways to keep away eating, sleeping, mating, defending. The other things that have to be taken care of. But you see, the great souls are actually beyond all this. What do? They sit down, they're hearing about Krishna's pastimes and discussing his pastimes and his name, fame, quality, beauty, etc. So that is the actual perfection, because that is what they're doing in the spiritual world. So when one is free from Maya, when one comes indifferent to Maya, then one can actually sit down peacefully and do this thing. Of course, this sitting down just exclusively doing this, like our Bhagavat Saptaha speaker upstairs, I forget his name, sorry. But he spends his day with other sadhus, and all they do is discuss the different tikkis of the different purports of the previous acharyas on the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's it. This is whole day. That's it. This is the whole day. And then they go and tell other people. So what a life, what a wonderful life. So they are. And somehow or other they eat, somehow or other they get a place to sleep, and somehow or other they pass their life. Not that everyone can't do that. Not that everyone has to do that. It's like an ideal situation. But not that we should our mission as given by Srila Prabhupada is that we should give everyone the opportunity to engage in service. And there's so many people out there that we have to wait till they're all engaged in serving Krishna, then we can relax and try and have Krishna and have good time. But until everyone else is engaged, then we should, that is the mood of the acharya that we should pick up on. Of course, different acharyas have different moods, but our acharya, as we know, Srila Prabhupada, that is the mood of ISKCON, the preaching movement, and that is the mood of also Lord Chaitanya. He wasn't complacent. He was always very diligently out preaching. And in opposition, he would become very diligent. So Prabhupada was diligent, although we understand he was a great soul, certainly beyond the modes of nature. But he was diligently inspiring, doing his duty of translating Srimad Bhagavatam, overseeing and managing the affairs of ISKCON, answering problems, writing thousands of letters. This. Krishna was diligent in this. Every day he would diligently doing his duty. He's a ghost. cattle boy would take the cows out every morning, first thing, he would get up and take the cows out every day, diligently every day. He, even though he's God. So he didn't say, oh, I don't have to do this. I'm God, I can do anything. But no, he likes to do it. Right? Because he likes the cows and he likes to have a good time with his friends. All his friends go out, all his best friends go out with him. Or when he's in Dwarka, diligently every day he does his duty, he goes to the assembly house. He leaves all his palaces, he walks down, all the different Krishnas merge into one Krishna, and they keep on. He walks down and sits in the assembly house diligently every day. In Dwarka. So they're doing. Everyone is diligently doing their duties. And Krishna shows that he also works. So even if you're God, you don't just sit down and relax and let everyone serve you. Some gods may, some other planetary gods may be like that. When Narayan doesn't have any work to do, creation, maintenance, then he's busy. He's in the relaxed zone. But he can do it because he is God. He can lay on Ananda and let Lakshmi massage his legs. But he's God, he can do it. We cannot. We want to imitate. That's the problem here. So that is this struggle, this illusory struggle against to overcome the Maya. That is actually what's keeping you bound. Maya's just laughing. The more you're struggling, the more you get bound up, and she's just laughing. So not you can't surmount Maya. You cannot overcome Maya. You simply turn away from Maya. Turn your face to Krishna's service, Krishna's form, Krishna's activities, Krishna's pastime, Krishna's devotees. Immediately you're not focused on Maya anymore. That's it. That's liberation. You got to stay there. Then you stay liberated. But as soon as you go back, then you're not liberated. You're back in the material world again. So if you practice this, then with a constant association with devotees through Srimad Bhagavatam, we associate with all the greatest devotees and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all of his features in the Srimad Bhagavatam there, right? With Krishna and Vrindavan is there and all the avatars are there. So it'll facilitate any mood that we have that says that, you know, Krishna consciousness is not it's not an alternative, it's a necessity. But that means, you know, Krishna conscious, Ram conscious, Vishnu, whatever your particular thing is, you can absorb in that. it's not an option, Prabhupada said. Krishna consciousness is not an option, it's a necessity. We're suffering here. You want to get over it. You want to go back into the position of enjoying this as assisting the supreme enjoyer in these wonderful pastimes. That was what we'd all like that very much. So it's there, so Krishna's offering that, this is it, so you simply do it. But, you have to be sincere when we approach this. We want it, this is what we want to hear, so this is what he's saying. Suga's saying. First thing he's saying, just that's it. You just offer your obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hearing about him, talking about him, engaging in his service, association, devotees, that's it. That's everything. And then we go on for another 9 cantos. Why it's everything. Why this is the goal, the process and the goal. Why it is. Right? Because we didn't hear on the first page. So then we come back. Then you go to Vrindavan, 10th canto. You see? I told you what it's like in Vrindavan. And then they hit the nail on the head, you've got the 11th and 12th canto, which is heavy, condensed philosophy. If you pass through all this and you're still not convinced, that's going to convince you. So that's our life. It's simply hearing that and accepting. Faith. And acting on that. It means you've got to. When we hear it, you're going to the heart. You then we're going to act on it. We take it seriously, we act on it. This is a primary thing. Then and by practicing that, then it becomes second nature. That this is a prime duty. So later on in the Bhagavatam, it says that the householder, man in the house, is although he's surrounded by so many things, and the family members saying, "Oh, we should do this, and we should get that, and we should go there." He says, "Yeah, very good idea, good idea." But he's always thinking that the goal of life is self-realization. He says, "Yes." Most of the stuff he doesn't do, but he says to his family, "Yes, good idea, very good." But he's always thinking, we've got the purpose of life is actually self-realization. So this is the prime. This is the prime necessity of life. So that's what we should be there. We shouldn't be distracted by Maya. But unfortunately, we think that distractions are great. Some of them, that's the problem. We run after the distractions. That is the problem. That we're born in, we're born and bred and fed in the world of Maya. That's all we know. So we're hearing these great saints. What do you do? Wake up, be more broad-minded. How long are you going to carry on this eating, sleeping, making, defending again and again and again and again? No, get something lasting, get something permanent, get some real rest. Join the assembly of devotees, join the Krishna's party. It's available. This is what he's saying, it's available. And we simply have to hear and follow, that's all. What else can you do anyway? You're hearing about material life and following what you've heard, what you've learned. Yeah, nothing changes, it's just, your goal changes. But that would happen. This will gradually happen if we follow the medicine, the program which is given here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's bound to happen. We have to want it to happen, otherwise it won't happen. The ultimate rests on our consciousness. So if the mercy is completely available, it won't happen unless you're actually submissive and receptive for it. It won't happen. Yeah. Otherwise, how can we say that Vrindavan and Mayapur, this is a spiritual world? But we're not experiencing it because we're not open, we're not receptive, and so therefore it doesn't reveal itself to us. But the sadhus are saying, this is how it is, you believe it, have faith, this is actually how it is. But this is the qualification to receive it. You have to be sincere, you have to be receptive, and you have to actually want it. And that means you have to be willing to say no to Maya also. You can't have one foot in two boats, as they say. That's the price you'll pay. We should take it seriously. We shouldn't take these things lightly. How long are we going to hear? How many days are we going to come to Bhagavatam class and hear year after year after year? Why don't we take it seriously? Why don't we just, act on what we've heard instead of just hearing? That was a nice class. We got a great class yesterday. Nice class. Carry on as normal. You got to hear it and then put it in, actually practice it. It's a serious business. It's a serious business. We're suffering like anything here. Suffering like anything, because we've been doing it all our life, we think it's normal. Body's like a monster. We're trying to cater all the demands of this body made of flesh, blood, and bones, and stool, and mucus, and we're trying to satisfy this horrible situation. But because we live in it, we think it's normal. Everyone else is doing it, it's not so bad. Even Lord Brahma, even Lord Indra, when he took the body of a piggy, and Lord Brahma came to enlighten him, you're the controller of the heavenly universe. You're Indra. Come back to your post. What? Be my big fat wife and my little piggies, little piglets. You kidding? All this nice food to eat. What? You kidding? So he didn't want to go. that Brahma, then he killed his wife. He was sad. Still, I can find another one. Killed all his kids. He had to do that. And still he was reluctant. Then he, so Brahma sprinkled his kamandala, forcibly took him out of that piggy body. Then Indra said, "Well, what a jerk. I was enjoying that." But that's how it is. That's how it is. When you're in that reality, that's any hole in the ground is home. That's where you're born. So we think it's not so bad. So they're saying, wake up, actually, you only have to believe what they say. It's a reality. This reality and the reality of the spiritual world. You have to be a little broad-minded. So take it, we have to take it. So that's why a moment's association with us, no one else is saying these things. Everyone else is saying how to eat, how to sleep, how to mate, and how to defend nicely, easily. Nothing, no one's saying anything else in this material world, from top to bottom. So only Yazidis is out there saying something different now, but you better believe it. These things are not so important. You don't have to listen to the senses. No. Let's listen to someone else's mind. We've got a better mind than us. Someone who knows the truth. Go to them, don't go to their spouses. Oh, they're here, they're giving it to us, they're forcing it under us. Still, we're... Oh, nice story. Nice advice. But not for me. I got this, I got that. Let me just get this problem out of the way. Right. Let me just get my children married. First get them educated, then get them married. then take care of the grandchildren. Then, no, it doesn't end. It doesn't end. Anyway, so we have to learn the science of side by side. While you're eating, sleeping, mating, defending, you should always remember Krishna. That is the science of life, science of living, art of living. How to remember Krishna in all of our activities. So that will be given to us by these great saints, sadhus, and the Lord Himself in the pages of the, the great treasure of spiritual success left by him was Satsukadeva and nicely mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything there. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sagobad ki jai. Any comments? Yes, my dear. How can you push yourself? How can you push yourself to the spiritual world and be happy? Consciousness.
And feel deadness and continue to follow.
And feel happiness. Okay. How to be consistent and you can't all at once. You're not gonna take up sadhana bhakti and it's gonna be happy. Because sadhana means force, rule. Because we don't have any spontaneous attraction for Krishna, therefore we have to put ourselves under a rigorous, or we put ourselves under the spiritual master, and he says, you must do this, you must do that, you mustn't do this, right? So these rules and regulations, that's vital. Because we don't have a spontaneous attraction, we put these rules and regulations to guide us, to keep us on the straight and narrow. That's what the rules and regulations are for. And that means it's based on fear. So you're not going to be happy, completely happy in sadhana, because it's actually based on fear. It's not based on attraction. It's based on fear of the material world. It's based on repulsion. We want to become free of the suffering. We don't want to assist Krishna in his pleasure. That's not the idea. That's pure devotee. You're an unlike devotees. So you're not going to be happy, but you will be as happy as your karma is going to let you be anyway. Yeah? So you can't adjust the happiness in this material world, that's already fixed. But when we hear this, the philosophy, then we become satisfied, we become peaceful. This is the best thing I can do in my life. So then you become peaceful and you become happy like that. How can you be happy growing old, getting sick and dying? If you think about it, if you're in the material consciousness, it's not a, Krishna says it's a place of misery. So we can't change that. So you have to take your consciousness out of that material world, which is a place of misery, and into the spiritual world, which is a place of ecstasy. So it is, while you're doing it, it's not a really happy thing. You're satisfied doing it, you're happy that this is the best thing you can do. But the happiness we're talking about is bliss. That's what we really want. We want it's difficult, right? It's difficult to chant 16 rounds every day and listen to them sincerely. It's difficult to get up at 3:30 in the morning and take a shower. It's difficult. Yeah? Everything's difficult in the material world. You're hauling this huge body around, it's difficult, like a mountain. Difficult. And catering to demands. It's not an easy thing. Everything's difficult in the material world. So that's what we want. We want happiness, we want bliss, but we don't want any work. So therefore we're always saying, "Oh Prabhupada, give me mercy." Even mercy is given here, but you don't want to do anything. The guru to come and touch you on the head and do all the work for you. And do all that hard work for you, of you saying no to Maya. If you're saying, yes, I will only be diligent and stick to the process of Krishna consciousness, it's hard. But you want Guru to, no, I can't do it, Guru, you do it for me. Give me your mercy. Anti-fallen. No, he's giving you the potency to do it. This is the process. How can he do it for you? He could. If he's potent enough. He actually could, but why should he? Then you'll take it cheaply. But that's what we want. We want it. We don't want to give up sense gratification. we want Guru or the devotee or Radharani or Nityananda, whoever it is, you take it all away and give me prema, give me the bliss of Krishna consciousness. We want to bypass all the work. But at least if you accept what you're doing right now, you should be happy as you can be in the material world, because you know this is the best thing I can do. So you'll be peaceful doing it. So but the happiness and distress, that's the material side anyway, it's already fixed. It's going to come anyway. If you look at it on the material platform, you can't change that. You can't change the happiness coming. You can't change the distress coming. Krishna can. But we can't, according to the karmas. So don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. We have to be a little more broad-minded. Now our happiness is the main interest in life. Our happiness is more important to us than anything else in the three worlds and the spiritual world. Because it's more important. Our happiness is more important than Krishna's happiness for us. So we don't mind using Krishna for our happiness. And that's what we're doing. We're using his process for our happiness. We have faith that he can remove our problems and give us. Yeah. So Krishna, we're making Krishna our servant. This is Sadhana Bhakti. What else can you do? You don't have it. If you're not spontaneous devotion, you don't have it. That's all. So yeah, this is sadhana, rules and regulation. If you don't have that love of Krishna, then why? Because your love of yourself is a priority. That means conditioned soul. So everything we do is selfish. To the degree that we advance in Krishna consciousness. To the degree that where there's no self-interest, then that's pure unalloyed devotional service. So now you may be considered pure devotee because you've given everything up. You've accepted the spiritual master. So you're considered pure devotee. You're following the rules and regulations of spiritual life. You're considered pure devotee. But still there's more. There's unalloyed pure devotee also. It's still for your benefit, you're doing it. It's not Krishna's benefit, you're here. Isn't it? Don't mind if I'm making a big apparatus, but if you think about it, anyway, we want something. We're coming for our satisfaction. If we're not satisfied, we can do some souls. It's normal. It's normal. Everyone is envious of Krishna in the material world. You admit it, I'm envious of Krishna. I may not realize it, but I'm actually envious of Krishna. I want him to be my servant. That's envious. I can't just accept, let him be the boss. He's the greatest. Let me serve him, that's great. And that's your greatest happiness. You can't be any other way anyway. It can't be any other way. That's how it is. if you want another way, then Krishna covers you, and then you come to the material world. Forget who you are, forget who he is, and carry on with your own program. So the answer to the question is by continuing attending the Bhagavatam class, associating with the devotees, then all those things will go away as it goes into our heart. You hear it so many times, every day we're hearing the same thing in different ways. But one time you hear it from somebody in that way and the bell starts ringing. Oh, that's what it meant. I heard it so many times before, this is what it meant. Oh, well. Then you take that, you'll act on that. You take that value and start to act on it. So like that, it's a gradual thing. And then we should cultivate the desire to actually want to become a devotee. I'm such an ass, you know, I'm sick of traveling around this universe taking them. I'm such a fool, why don't I just become a devotee? Start caring about, you know, Krishna or other people instead of myself. So here's a perfect opportunity in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, because although we're doing it for ourselves, the mission is for others. The mission is to make Krishna consciousness available to everyone. And it's hard work, because there's a lot of those. And we're still we're still babies. But still, that's our purification, or our happiness is giving other people happiness. That's how we will get the mercy. By distributing Krishna consciousness, then we get blessed. So just carry on, we got it. don't try and run away and find your own happiness and whatever. We're our mood from coming from Caitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada is we're Gosinandi. You start giving. Whatever you know, give it, throw it out. Whatever you know about Krishna, throw it to everyone. Then you'll be so happy. You stop worrying about your own happiness, you'll be sad. You just engage yourself in devotional service constantly, you don't have time to think about yourself. That's the whole process. There's Maya and there's Krishna. And we're making a choice at every moment. When you're not serving Krishna, when you're not absorbed in Krishna, you're absorbed in Maya. What else is there? So it's not a difficult thing to see. And it's not a difficult thing to make a conscious choice. You can choose to serve Maya, you can choose to serve Krishna. We're doing it every moment. So here we're saying you should always be thinking of the prime. What is the actual prime duty? That should always be there in the background. What is the actual prime duty? In other words, it's our first rules and regulation in Krishna consciousness. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Accept what's favorable and reject what's unfavorable. There are rules. And all the other rules are subservient to those two rules. So it's not a difficult thing on paper. Or in the mind. But it's not a difficult thing. You're going to make a choice anyway. You just have to make that right choice. And if you don't want to make it, you won't make it. Whatever, for whatever reason. But when you make the right choice, you're liberated. And when you make the wrong choice, you're not liberated. And when you make the right choice again, you're liberated. So, you practice like that, then at the time of death, you'll make the right choice. You want everybody to come back to it. As a test. It's a practice now. Don't worry about your happiness. Don't worry about your spiritual advancement. You worry about other people's. Huh? That'll be better. And everyone will love you. Then you'll be really happy. Because that's what you wanted to be, the center anyway, so you got it. You become a pure devotee, everyone will love you. You'll get it automatically. Selfless devotee. Is that right? Anything else? Gopāda ki jai. Gopāda ki jai.